レルヤ、アレルヤ。
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I have no relations with a man? And the angel said to her in reply, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And with that, the angel departed from The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this great solemnity we celebrate many things. We celebrate the beginning of the life of the woman we love the most. We celebrate the beginning of our redemption. We celebrate God's advent in what he did in preparation for his son, preparing Mary as that fitting dwelling place to be able to receive him, to nourish him, to give him birth. What I'd like to focus on today is what St. John Paul II wrote in Vita Consecrata, that we should all, and especially those in consecrated religious life, should draw from this mystery of the Immaculate Conception. And he said, it shows us fundamentally two things. First, the primacy of God's initiative. And then second, Mary as the model of responding to God's grace. First, the primacy of God's initiative. We see that portrayed for us in all its clarity. Today's first reading from the book of Genesis. After even Adam said no to God, after they distrusted him and his promises and his word, and acted according to concupiscence, God responded with the proto-gospel. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel. That there would be a time in which there would be separation from sin, as the devil would want to seduce us into. And Mary would be that fulfillment. God started then. Or St. Paul would argue that God started even earlier. In today's second reading, he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, and chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish in his sight. That God chose us before he said, let there be light. Before he said, let us create man in our own image, male and female, he created them. God had already planned for us to be immaculate. And if there's one in whom this plan of God was put into action perfectly, it was Mary. Today, as we proclaim this gospel, we've got that greatest of all her titles, in my opinion, at least for us as disciples. Ke keratomene, the angel put, that God put on the angel's lips. As soon as he said, rejoice, Mary, he gave her the name with which God would relate to her. Ke keratomene, you who have been filled with grace. God's initiative. She was filled with every spiritual blessing in the heavens that God had planned from before the foundation of the world. God had put, by filling her with grace, this total enmity between her and the serpent. It's not so much the fight against sin and temptation in the serpent. It's also something far greater. The positive of having been filled with God. That's what it means to be filled with grace. Mary was replete with God's holiness. And she accepted that. Adam and Eve were prepared for it. God intended Adam and Eve to have it. But they said no. After God's initiative, Mary models for us how to respond to that every spiritual blessing. She asks some questions how it would happen, which were questions about whether, as we've talked about before, she would have to change what her plan was. She would have never asked the question, how can this be, for I will not know man, unless she had already been planning to have consecrated her virginity over to the Lord. Are you asking me to change what I had already consecrated to you? How is this going to happen otherwise? She wasn't fathoming the miracle that God would do by the power of the Holy Spirit. But after the angel had replied to that totally legitimate question of modality, which is never a doubt, she just simply said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. I receive that blessing. I receive that grace. I want to be filled with what at first frightens me. Do not be afraid, Mary, that she has been indeed filled with grace. For us, as we live out our vocations, God always takes the initiative. He's always started. He gives us the vocation to be a saint. He gives us the vocation to be a priest or religious. He gives us the vocation to serve him. And Mary teaches us how to respond well to that divine summons, to receive all the blessings he has intended in order to make our fulfillment of those vocations possible. Whenever I celebrate the major feast days, as you've probably figured out by now, I always try to do it in a slightly different way, just so that I never get into the routine, just so that it's never same old, and we become stale. And so, over the course of my priesthood, it's been rather easy because we've had so many ecclesiastical holy years. Last year, I was able to preach about what the Immaculate Conception means with regard to the Year of Mercy, which began a year ago today. 2 years ago, I was able to preach about Mary and the consecrated life. What's this year all about? What's a special angle with which we could live this solemnity different than last year's, different than next year's, different than any other celebration of Mary's Immaculate Conception that we'll experience? I propose, unless any of you want to live another 100 years or 150, that we could take our indication from Fatima, the 100th anniversary of which we're going to be marking in 6 months, 5 months. When Mary came to the three shepherd children in the Cova Diria in Fatima, after she had shown them visions of hell, the progression of atheistic communism and war in the world and the persecution of the church, she gave them the solution for all of this, which was consecration to her Immaculate Heart. That the solution to sin and what sin would lead to, hell, war and destruction, and the terrible sufferings of so many of the modern martyrs, the response to all of that would be a heart like Mary's, a heart that is free from sin, a heart that allows itself to be filled with God, a heart that says yes to the Lord, a heart that is pure and sees God in others and in events. We see in Mary's heart what God's plan is for our own through the gift of the sacraments. And if we wish to take Mary as our model in how to respond to God's initiative and every spiritual blessing in the heavens that he gives us, then the way that the church proposes, the way that she herself proposed, was to consecrate herself totally to her Immaculate Heart, to enter into her own response, in other words, her own love for God, and echo it from within our own center, our own passion, our own love for God. As probably many of you did when we first consecrated ourselves to Our Lady, we started the preparations on November 5th and finished on December 8th. Because it's the most popular time to make those 33 days of preparation over the course of the year, even though it could be done at any day or any Marian feast day. But it's on this day more than anybody else that people consecrate themselves to Our Lady for the first time and to that Immaculate Heart. Today we can renew that consecration so that what God has intended in her can likewise come to fruition in us, so that there will be true enmity between us and the evil one. Hatred, that we spurn him. We don't want to have anything whatsoever to do with him. But beyond it, that we allow God to fill us with himself, to put no limits, to give him, as Cardinal O'Connor used to like to repeat, permission to do whatever he wants, to have a free hand with us. That's the way we're able to live out this mystery with a special characteristic this year. So that at the beginning of this time in which we mark Mary's coming to our world in Fatima and what she taught us there, we can do so setting on out, following her interior footsteps, so that we might respond fully to what God wishes to do in us and come one day to rejoice with her at her Son's eternal right side. What's about to happen in us, God has prepared us for, just like what he had done in her prepared her to receive within his dearly beloved Son. God has prepared us to receive his Son in Holy Communion, just like he prepared her womb. The early saints of the church said that the fundamental purpose of the Immaculate Conception was twofold: that no sin would touch God incarnate in her womb, and that she would have the capacity to say a full yes to God. And while we have not been immaculately conceived, the Lord, through baptism and confession, has made us capable of receiving his Son, so that no serious sin on the inside touches him. And to make it possible for us, when we come forward, to say a full-throated, whole-hearted amen. Not just to the reality that it is the same Jesus whom we're about to have within, that Mary carried within her womb, but so that we might say a total fiat to his plans for us as we
are transformed by him to be capable of doing this in memory of him. This is what we celebrate today. It's all of it, and we're only just getting started. Through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, we run to her and we pray together. O Mary, conceived without original sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.